The Morning Rush podcast is brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Freedom Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boot.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast.
But we're also going to be playing some Christmas music and having some Christmas imaging to bring in the spirit of Christmas with the Yuletide phenomenons and all the other cliches that I have never understood as a kid. Like, I don't even know what a Yuletide is. Do you know?
No.
But it's been used so much in Christmas. There's a lot of that.
Does it have anything to do with Alabama football, a Yuletide?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe that's where it was originally coming from. Something like that. I don't know. I don't know either. But either way, that's what apparently makes Christmas great is things like that.
Crimson Tide, Yuletide, I don't know.
Yeah. Burning chestnuts on an open fire. Why is that Christmassy? But apparently it is. I couldn't tell you. So, but either way, we're going to keep it going throughout this week and wishing you a Merry Christmas and a happy holiday season as we'll be bringing it in. And we have a lot to discuss, obviously, coming out of the weekend with a lot of sports going on. Of course, the Razorback basketball team, they got a victory against Texas San Antonio Roadrunners. You probably didn't get to see the game unless you were at the game, because apparently in 2018 we have a Razorback basketball game that cannot be put on television. I don't know how. I don't know why. I'm sure it's got a technical reason. I'm sure we'll get into those reasons, and I'm sure people are going to call in or tweet in and say, hey, idiot, this is why you can't do it. This is why, because of this reason, because of the technical reason, blah, 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 whatever. I still just think it's strange that with all of the technology that has come together, whether it's the SEC network, where you have so many different ways to be able to broadcast things these days, you just can't do this one game out of Little Rock. It just feels weird. And it's so funny that now we're talking about how we get upset if a single game is not on television, where, what was it, Tommy, 15, 20 years ago?
Less than that.
I mean, it was just where, hey, if you were able to get a game on television, especially a non-conference throwaway game, it was something really special, and it was a very big deal. But yet here we are, at least here I am, sitting here complaining about it. But either way, Arkansas still gets the victory despite that, 79-67 over the Roadrunners. You had solid performances turned in, of course, by Isaiah Joe. Isn't that guy just... Maybe this is bad of me, but he had 21 points. He shot 5 of 6 from three-point land. I just feel like at some point in time, okay, when's this going to slow down? When is he finally going to hit that wall as a freshman where he's not going to be shooting as well? But he keeps showing up every single game, and it's just amazing. Of course, this team is 7-2. They have two losses to Western Kentucky and Texas. They were close losses. A lot of people felt like they should have won that game. We'll see exactly how this team is going to end up at the end of the season. But as good as some of these other players have been, as good as Daniel Gafford has been pretty consistently, and some of the bench players and all that, I mean, Isaiah Joe might be the guy that you're going to have to count on to hit at least 3, 4, maybe even 5 threes a game if this team's going to be successful.
I think the guy, though, that's maybe making it go, I know he's not scoring the points, but he's the guy helping run the team, is Jalen Harris. 10 assists, no turnovers. I mean, your points... spot on with all these other guys, but just looking for other reasons why they're winning. Jalen Harris, 10 assists, 0 turnovers, 11 points in the game.
It's a good ratio, right?
Number one.
You wonder why Isaiah Joe and Gafford and these guys are scoring so many points. It's because you got an unselfish teammate like Jalen Harris who's giving the basketball to give them the opportunities.
Yeah.
That's an incredible number to me that was maybe one of the first things that stood out from the box score on Saturday.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. He played 34 minutes, too. So, I mean, he played a lot in this game. He didn't shoot particularly well, went 2 of 9 from the field, but still made his free throws, went 7 of 8 from free throw land. Arkansas as a team shot almost 80% from the free throw line, which is something that you wish they probably would have done in previous games, but still, kudos to them in making some plays. But, you know, Jalen Harris is a great example because anytime you can get double-digit assists, it's great. But the fact that you don't turn the ball over to go along with it. I mean, when was the last time Arkansas had a player capable of doing things like that? I mean, I know Jabril Durham was pretty good in his senior year. The Razorback basketball team wasn't very good, but he was pretty good at distributing and making assists there in his final season, but maybe not at this high of rate. It just seems like it's been so long since Arkansas has had a true point guard.
A real distributor.
A real distributor, right. And a lot of times, in a lot of cases, if you think back to some of those Arkansas teams, think about the year where you had Bobby Portis and Michael Qualls. What was the one type of player that people felt like you missed the most from that team? The missing piece.
Mm-hmm.
You had some good guards, but you didn't have a distributor. You had a great wing player. You had a great down low player. You had, it seemed like you had all the pieces, but that one particular player was missing.
Yeah.
And it just makes you think that if they were able to get consistently having a distributing type of player, just how much better these teams would be, especially getting able to elevate them once they get to the NCAA tournament, and some guy that's able to make plays, create plays, and find plays in the way that Jalen Harris is right now.
Well, and it's hard to say this team's not going to go as far as Daniel Gafford takes them. And I agree with that. But, well, I'm going to tell you, Jalen Harris, I know he doesn't score a ton of points, but I think this team only goes as far as he takes them as well.
Hey, assists are just as good as points. Technically. I mean, just saying.
Yeah, you're right.
But that's the thing, is if he can just keep doing that, and I know he didn't shoot very well, went 2 of 9, so maybe if he can limit that a little bit or at least work on his shots there, he's going to be in great shape, because you know that you're going to – Daniel Gafford didn't play all that great. I know that as far as percentage-wise, he shot pretty well. He had 13 points, 14 rebounds. It's funny that I say don't play that well, but still he was able to get a bunch of rebounds. But if you can get
– He just had a double-double.
Yeah, and no big deal. But if you're just able to get a consistency out of Daniel Gafford, which I think you've been able to this year, have Jalen Harris do the things what he's doing with the assist, and then count on Isaiah Joe especially to be able to make threes. I mean, those three parts of your game – if you can just get consistency out of all of them, that's what's going to be able to take you back to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Those three guys. Obviously, you got to rely on some bench plays. I know Reggie Chaney came in, played really well as well. You had some defensive guys. Desi Seals came in and played well. So you're going to have to rely on those guys as well as Mason Jones. There's just some pieces, but those three guys are going to be kind of your main workhorses to be able to make you into a good team.
I mean, Arkansas had a decent lead in this game, then it tightened up in the second half, towards the midway point of the second half. But then down the stretch, you were able to pull away, and free throws were a big part of that, but just quality possessions. And I thought it was good that Arkansas had a game coming off a week where you didn't play all week due to finals, that you got tested a little bit, and now you play again Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And then the holiday break, and then you're right back at it. And hey guys, you're only three or four till you have conference play begin, so I mean it's getting here quickly.
Yeah, I think at this point you have three games left.
Yeah.
You have Georgia Tech, then Texas State, then Austin Peay, and then you move on to at Texas A&M. It seems like Arkansas always starts the SEC slate on the road. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just me, but it seems like they always start on the road, and they always play Florida early, which is what they're going to do, actually, where they play Florida early in the second game of the conference slate. So, yeah, you're going to find out a lot about
A&M
this team.
And Florida are both early always.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly. And then in your fourth game, you go on the road to Tennessee, which Tennessee – good grief. I don't know if anybody's had a chance to watch them yet this season, but they look like the real deal. They could be a team that not only wins the SEC, but maybe even make it to the Final Four.
Yeah, they're one of the nation's best.
I mean, they're still looking really good. So Arkansas.
Thought it's going to be Auburn.
Yeah. And, I mean, they're still a good team. Don't get me wrong. They had a
It may end up being the best in this league when it's over with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't know yet.
Yeah, but it's just amazing how those two teams, where they went through the problems that they did, because it seemed like Auburn was a terrible basketball program forever. I mean, they went through coaches. I think it was Jeff Lebo was there for a bit. And then Tony Barbie. We all know that just disaster that he caused. And Tennessee was kind of the same way. They were trying to recover from Bruce Pearl after he had left. Still don't know why he's coaching, but he's still coaching nonetheless.
Yeah. Hugh Freeze can't coach in the football side, but Bruce Pearl can basketball.
He just had a barbecue.
I'm uncertain about some of these things.
There's just a barbecue. So, but Tennessee, you know, they went through a few coaches too. Quanzo Martin was one of them. They thought that, they went back to the NCAA tournament. No, they needed to elevate their game, and now look at him. Just in a few years, because Bruce Pearl and Rick Barnes both have not been there very long, and look where he's got them right now. So it's just amazing how quick of a turnaround you can have at a program if you just have the right coach. So, but yeah, really good teams, and Arkansas plays both those teams on the roads. Unfortunately, you'd love to see them in Bud Walton Arena. But either way, Arkansas does get the victory, bounces back after Western Kentucky in a sluggish game. I guess finals, I mean, I know that's said a lot, but you think that actually has something to do with a sluggish game after a finals week, after time off?
Well, you add to that playing not at Bud Walton Arena. I know it's a home game. I know it's a home crowd. They had, 13,000 or so there?
Mm-hmm.
And a 12,462 was the official scan tickets. And, so Arkansas had the edge, but you still have to get on a bus and drive, 3 hours to a home game. And all of that, I think, adds up to, I think it all goes into the pot that you're mixing up.
Yeah.
Finals, travel. There's a little more stuff they do. They went to the children's hospital. Mm-hmm. All great things. And
yeah,
I have no problem with them playing in North Little Rock. I have no issue with all that. I'm just saying it all adds up to maybe a little bit sluggish performance. And maybe we should give UTSA a little bit of credit, too.
Yeah, no, I think Mike
Gainer, I know they're 3-7 records. You know, huh? What? Well,
had a good game plan coming in.
They seemed to play well.
Yeah, and they were getting those 50-50 balls, which was very important.
Arkansas's home for the best sports talk. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Adams with it at the 45. Adams skipping. Adams gets outside. Watch out. Hits the sideline. The Jet. Touchdown, Arkansas.
Go to the phone lines. We're now joined by Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Good morning, Tom. How's it going, man?
Pretty good, man. Y'all doing nicknames?
Nicknames?
Yeah.
What do you mean nicknames?
Okay.
Cool. Do you need a nickname for you or something? Oh, it's okay. Ty just showed me. Apparently on our Periscope and our Facebook live feed, we have Tom Murphy nicknamed the Dominator.
No.
Is that what that is? What are you doing over here, Ty?
He was like, I'll think of one on the spot, the Dominator. And I was like, all right, okay, go with that.
Okay, so apparently Tom Murphy's is the Dominator, at least for this morning. So, well,
I apologize, Tom. I mean,
yeah, we did not know that was coming for you, Tom.
Ty goes off the rails every now and then. We were unaware.
Yeah, we got.
No, it's cool, man. Yeah, it's a place to pick up basketball, man. It's pretty tough.
Mm-hmm. Well, big night for the Hogs on Saturday, Dominator. Let's talk about... I almost got through that. Seriously, the Hogs with a win. It kind of had to fight for this one down at Verizon. Game was a little tighter than I think a lot of people expected when playing UT San Antonio. But nonetheless, the Hogs get out of North Little Rock with a 79-67 win. The Hogs now 7-2.
Sure did not expect that type of tussle. And I think it was a product of a couple things. That their guard, Jackson, had a great game. Or is it Javon Johnson had a really good game and is getting better from his knee injury. And I think what separated Arkansas was their free throw shooting. Because if they had shot the same as they had done in their previous loss to Western Kentucky, it could have been a different outcome. But I think it's good that they really got challenged and had to pull one out down the stretch. And the 12-point margin does not indicate how they had to fight for that one, for sure.
You know, Tom, one of the interesting things I thought about playing this game down at Verizon Arena in Little Rock is the record that Arkansas has when playing in Little Rock. It's only 11-9, and even in a lot of those victories, they were really close games. It just seems like they play really sluggish down in Little Rock, and I don't know if that's just a coincidence or if it's the timing of game or whatnot, but do you think that there's any reason to why they seem to come out and play sluggish down there in Little Rock, even though they get some victories at some point in time?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a bit of a mystery, and it could be different rims, different atmosphere that, you know, that they see once a year, and their opponent is pretty much on the same footing as them. And they didn't shoot it very well in the first half, and that was a big concern. But they did come out and shoot 50% in the second half, so that helped alleviate it. But, yeah, they've got some mysterious losses down there. Some weird ones, and I know they lost. I think it was to Baylor a few years ago. It was a pretty good team, but otherwise there's been some wacky losses down there as well.
You know, this team's probably going to go as far as Daniel Gafford can carry them, but I think Jalen Harris is right there with them. I mean, again, 11 points, 10 assists, no turnovers on Saturday night. This guy is an assist machine, and the way he feeds Isaiah Joe and Daniel Gafford. That's going to go a long ways to getting some conference wins this year. Jalen Harris's play right now is really impressive, Tom.
You know, you're talking about the new national assist to turnover leader in Jalen Harris. It's 7.56 assists for every turnover he's got. And since he averages 7.6 assists a game, then his numbers are roughly 7.6 assists a game and one turnover per game, which is just astounding numbers. I think Steve Henson pointed out what some other coaches have. Arkansas's got a lot of really good pieces. When you talk about a great three-point shooter, when you talk about a good creator in Jalen Harris, a rim protector, they've got some pieces off the bench. If those continue to get stronger, like Reggie Chaney right now, he's going to get more minutes than Adriel Bailey until Bailey gets his game back together. But if they could get kind of firing on all cylinders and have the guys on the bench, like when Gabe comes in, if he's a little bit more in control, he misses some shots that are really point-blank range type stuff that you just wish he could square up a little bit better. But then they've got energy guys like Desi Stills and Keyshawn Embry-Simpson coming off the bench. There's some good pieces to this team. And I know the Western Kentucky game was a big downer just when everybody was really buying in and getting on board. And I'm not saying they're going to challenge the top few teams in the SEC, but I do think they're going to be a tough out at Walton Arena, and they've shown some fight.
Speaking with Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette right now on the Morning Rush. Tom, just piggybacking off of what you were talking about with Jalen Harris, it just seems like that's always been the one missing piece that Mike Anderson's team has always not been able to have. They haven't been able to have a point guard that's able to distribute and create plays. I know they had one little bit with Jabril Durham, but it just seems like it's been so long. Do you feel like Jalen Harris has finally been that piece, and why hasn't Mike Anderson been able to get this a Jalen Harris-type player in his tenure at Arkansas to really create all those plays?
Yeah, that's a good question. It takes a special kind of guy to kind of be, you know, sacrifice his own scoring to do that. And I think in Jalen Harris, they have that. It's not too common in today's game. Now, Jalen Barford could create a lot, but he was such a good scorer, and he could handle the contact and still kind of stay square and get a shot off, that he was pretty special in that regard, too. So his assist numbers weren't as high because he was such a good scorer. But I think he could have been a guy who could have done a whole lot more creating like Jalen Harris. But he is a special guy, and because he can help break defenses down, Isaiah Joe's three-point shooting is among the best in the country. And then Daniel Gafford's shooting 66.7%, two out of every three, a lot of them dunk, which I think leads the SEC and ranks way up there in the country. And Jalen Harris is a big cause of that.
Arkansas with three non-conference games left before they hit the opening of SEC play, and most notably Georgia Tech, which is up next on Wednesday night. What do we expect? Georgia Tech, then Texas State, and Austin Peay before conference play begins in January at A&M. What do you expect in this next one against Georgia Tech, Tom?
Well, I'm looking at their stats. They're 5-3. They're, you know, their rebounding is differentials about zero. They shoot 44.2%, so not a whole lot of things that pop out to you in terms of, you know, being a dominating team. They've beaten some lesser opponents like Lamar and East Carolina, Prairie View, and they've lost, you know, they lost their Big Ten Challenge game against Northwestern. It was on the road, 6-point game, and they lost to St. John's down in Miami. So, you know, I wouldn't count them out in terms of giving Arkansas a really good run. The Razorbacks, of course, being at home, should be favored. And I think they should win all the next three before they go into conference play.
Switching up a little bit, Tom, going into the early signing period, it's going to be a big day this week on Wednesday where Arkansas gets a lot of their commitments for the 2019 football class to sign with them. There will probably be a few players that wait until the actual signing period in February. Just what's your overall feeling going into that? Do you think there are going to be some surprises for Arkansas? Just what's your overall thoughts on early signing day?
Well, it's a much-needed day for these Razorbacks, and the fact that they're recruiting this well off of a 4-8 followed by a 2-10 is pretty amazing. They can sell playing time, and I think Chad Morris understood coming in, and it came very clear reality to him that he's got to have D linemen and O linemen. And so if you look at eight defensive linemen and five offensive, that's 13. Well, that's half your class. So and they got three receivers coming in, a little thin at linebacker with Zemos being the only linebacker right now. I know they'd like to probably sign a JUCO guy, but it's the kind of class that you just start building what you want to be from them. And if they can make some strides next year and put together another class like this, I think you'll see the Chad Morris regime well on its way.
You mentioned the offensive line. Are you a little apprehensive that they've met the needs with the numbers they're losing with three starters leaving this past year's roster? Have they done enough to meet the needs moving forward for the offensive line?
Well, the time that just remains to be seen. I mean, we got to see who can produce, and the two junior college guys, Cunningham and Nwane, y'all help me with the pronunciation there, but
I think you nailed it. So
Nwana, those two guys, you want them to produce. You want them to at least be able to bring Colton Jackson's game to another level, and make guys like Noah Gatlin just make them better. Push them in practice, because I think a lack of competition helped. You know, they were decimated by injuries and stuff, but there weren't also guys knocking at the door to claim starting jobs.
Yeah.
And, you know, they did a smart thing by getting Gatlin playing time early in the season and then playing him in the last game. They think he's going to be a contributor. And they think they've got some other guys like Silas Robinson, Shane Clinton got some playing time early, Kirby Adcock, the guys that we've known about. And then guys like Ty Clary just have to get better. So that's a key part if this offense is going to make improvements, and it has to. You know, I thought they made somewhat of the strides on defense that was expected last year, but they took a step back offensively. And having a better offensive line, a little bit more mobile, a little better run blocker, is crucial for them.
Yeah, I mean, it's a quality issue, but it's also a quantity issue with the O-line. They've got to get to where they have 15 scholarship guys they can practice with.
Absolutely, and Chad pointed out that there was one day that they had 10 scholarship guys available, and you got to be able to go too deep. So they're working on it, and you know, you're bringing five in, you're losing three seniors. You had some other attrition from some guys who had to get medical hardships, like Hayes and Merrick and Deion Malone. So we'll see how those numbers shake out in the springtime.
Tom, real quick before we let you get out of here, I'm going to throw you a little bit of a curveball. We've been talking about Christmas music and how we're big fans of Christmas music here on the Morning Rush. In fact, we've been playing it throughout the whole morning. So I'm going to ask you, you're a big Christmas guy. Do you enjoy Christmas music? But if you do, give us the one Christmas song that you do not like.
Yikes. Well, I'll tell you this. Huge Paul McCartney fan, and I'll take any kind of flack anybody wants to give me on Wonderful Christmas Time. Really love it. I got a ton of favorites. I've heard a remake that Ariana Grande made, and even though I have a daughter who really likes her, I can't think of the name of it, but it is almost unlistenable, and I'm not sure what it is, but it's not good. It might be Last Christmas, the George Michael song.
Oh, we may have to check that out for you and have it playing for you when you come on Thursday, something like that.
Oh, hey. He may not answer the phone then.
We can understand that. We can understand that. Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, always appreciate you joining us, Tom. Great stuff, man. Looking forward to catching up with you on Thursday.
Hey, outstanding. Y'all get Julie Andrews, Little Town of Bethlehem. It's a different type of version. Very good. See y'all.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle. And Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas. 80 yards.
Had to read this tweet because it is from our guy Gary in Arkadelphia. We're talking about Christmas music. He says he likes the Christmas music, as in Metallica's Carol of the Bells, AC/DC's Mistress for Christmas,
mm-hmm,
and King Diamond, No Presents for Christmas.
He's a rocker.
Yeah, I can tell from that.
He's
list.
A metalhead.
I've heard of the Metallica and AC, but the King Diamond, No Presents for Christmas, I've never heard that one.
We have to look that one up.
Yeah, get out there for Gary. I don't know. But quite an interesting list there, Gary. But, of course, appreciate you tweeting in. All right, now it is time to get into the best and the worst of the weekend.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
We the best.
This is the worst.
It's time for the best and worst of the weekend.
All right. The best and the worst of the weekend presented by Washington Regional.
Washington Regional Medical Center, committed to providing stroke care that aligns with the latest research-based treatment guidelines. Washington Regional, proud to be recognized by the American Heart Association for achievement in the Give of the Guidelines and Target Stroke Quality Programs. It's just one more way Washington Regional is working to improve health care for you and your family. Learn more at WRegional.com.
All right, I'm going to cheat a little bit. I'm going to go with my worst one first because I want to end on a good note, on a positive note, if you will. My worst of the weekend was the fact that I was not able to watch the Razorback basketball game on television.
Now, I know that this seems like a very minor complaint when it comes to the grand scheme of things. But the fact that the Razorback basketball team, every other game they will play this season, will be on television. But the fact that this one wasn't was really bothersome. I get that there are technical reasons. In fact, I actually texted my guy, Andrew Hutchison. He gave me the rundown of what was going on, Tommy. And hopefully this explanation makes sense. He said, basically, the North Little Rock game has to be picked up by the SEC Network, ESPN or ESPN2, etc., to be televised. The equipment necessary to stream on the SEC Network Plus is in Fayetteville, not in Central Arkansas. But a game against Texas San Antonio isn't likely to be picked up by one of those actual TV stations. So I get the reasons why. It's just the fact that it wasn't. And when I'm sitting there trying to follow the game, you know what the way I ended up watching the game? There was a guy on Twitter by the name of Pinto who was at the game and had a live Periscope of the game itself. Now, he couldn't get in trouble because nobody had broadcasting rights to the game. So he literally just sat a few rows up on his phone live streaming the basketball game. That's how I was able to watch the Razorbacks take on Texas San Antonio. It was fine, and I'm appreciative to Pinto for doing such things. But the fact that we are in 2018, getting into 2019, and there is a basketball game for an SEC team that is not on television, or at least there's not a way to watch it on television or any legitimate streaming service, it's just, that just sucks. So that was my worst of the weekend, the fact that I was unable to watch the Razorback basketball game.
Did we mention the, I think we did on Friday. This was one of the worst, this happened on Friday or came out Friday about Stephen A. Smith and him mentioning Hunter Henry.
Yes.
That was one of the worst things. I thought some of the worst things was some of the reactions to that over the weekend. And, you know, listen, Stephen A. embarrassed himself in front of the world. But I thought some of the worst things, and I was scrolling through looking for another story I want to bring for my best of, but this just came up. And I thought, you know, some of the reactions to that where people thought basically he should resign, turn in all of his credentials, and never work again was pretty incredible. Some of the over-the-top reactions from the talking pundits over the weekend that think they've exposed Stephen A. for what he is. It's a pretty major screw-up on his part.
It was. I mean, when you...
But I don't know that it's a career-ending offense.
No, and because, I mean, it goes back to the outrage society that people just want justice. They want blood if somebody messes up on something.
Who did he harm other than himself?
Yeah, I mean, he just made himself look stupid. And if that was the case in broadcasting, then we probably wouldn't have
jobs.
Yeah, I'd
be done.
I mean, we'd all be done by making ourselves or saying things that are stupid. But yeah, I guess it was just not only the fact that he brought up the players or whatnot, but he would like say, and Hunter Henry, how great he has played this season. It's like, no, you didn't even get the names wrong. You even mentioned the fact that how great he's played this season. That's problematic. You can't have that. You just can't have that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I agree. That was pretty bad. In fact, I don't think it gets any worse than that. But anyways, all right, my best of the weekend. And I do mean to offend anybody that's listening that actually obviously doesn't see this as a good thing. But the best thing I saw was the Dallas Cowboys getting shut out. 23-0 against the Indianapolis Colts. Now, if you're a Cowboys fan, great. Power to you. Love you. All of that. But I just enjoy kind of sitting back and looking at reactions, very passionate, heated reactions of something that I don't care about. I do not care about the Cowboys or the Colts a lick. I don't care who wins. I don't care who loses. But what I do care about and what I do like and enjoy is seeing the outrage and reactions of things that I don't. So that way I don't have a dog in the fight. I just sit back and spectate and watch the fireworks. And that's exactly what happened last night, or yesterday, I should say, with the Dallas Cowboys losing in the way that they did to the Indianapolis Colts, 23-0. The Cowboys were on a 5-game winning streak. They had beaten the Eagles, the Falcons, the Redskins, the Saints, and the Eagles. Everyone thought that they were really getting it going, that they were going to have a strong push to the playoffs. And listen, they can still get in the playoffs. They're 8-6. They have 2 games left against the Buccaneers and the Giants. Neither team is that great. So the Cowboys could still find a way to win it. But the fact of the matter is that when you see, or at least when I saw, people coming out saying, fire Jason Garrett, fire all these coaches, trade these players, this is crap, classic Cowboys, yada, yada, yada. I don't know why. I just get enjoyment out of it. Maybe it's because I see it as from the perspective of, since it's not dealing with the Arkansas Razorbacks. Is that how people see Razorback fans in a lot of ways, too? I'm not saying they're all like that, but if they lose one game, it's like the end of the world to a lot of people. But for Cowboys fans, it seems like it's even worse. And it also makes them very enjoyable because I'm a Jets fan, and I know that's hard to do at some point in time, and it's hard to do it right now, at least, to be a Jets fan. But I will say that anybody that talks trash to me about the Cowboys and how great the Cowboys are and says, oh, I'm sorry for you being a Jets fan, just remember, folks, that the Dallas Cowboys have only won a handful of playoff games since 1996, and my New York Jets, they've been the AFC playoff championship game three times since then. So, suck on that. Yeah. That's all I got to say. That was my best of the weekend, seeing the Cowboys get shut out.
My best of the weekend, I didn't give that. No, best of the weekend was Jalen Harrison, 10 assists.
Yes.
10 assists, no turnovers. Best thing I didn't see it, but I read about it because it wasn't on my TV.
If you didn't see it, did it actually happen?
Yes, it actually did happen. That was one of my best of the weekend. The other one was, and I guess this story has been pulled down. I'm going back. I saw it on, are you familiar with 12 Up?
What do you mean 12 Up?
It's a website that has a bunch of sports stories. And I'm not real familiar with it, but it's something that showed up on my Twitter feed. But you mentioned earlier the Utah State North Texas bowl game.
Yes.
And there was this story, and I, because we want to be accurate. We strive for accuracy.
Yes.
And I wanted to get this young lady's name correctly on here, but the story apparently has been removed from 12up.com. I cannot find it. I've scrolled through the last few days. I've done a search.
All right, we're going to have to find this because we're getting this back out here.
Okay, so here's the story. Is Utah State...
I found it, by the way.
Did you?
Yes,
all right,
I did.
So you can help me with the name here. I could not find the story. Here's the background.
Yes.
Utah State is staying in a hotel ahead of their bowl game this weekend. And apparently an adult film star was staying in the same hotel and found her way into the hotel hot tub with some of the players.
Rochelle Ryan is her name.
I am sure you're familiar with her work. I have not researched her work yet, but now since it
she
is
truly
work
truly is an artist.
Yeah,
actually.
It's about the art. And she tweeted out how she enjoyed the experience of being in the hot tub with 18 to 22-year-old student athletes.
Can I read her tweet?
Yes.
But this is her tweet. She says, quote, "How did I get so lucky that I'm staying at the team hotel for the hashtag New Mexico Bowl?
Yeah.
Me in a hotel with 100-plus 18 to 20-year-old college athletes. Jeez. Let's see if I can pull a few for my Snapchat." Man. And, of course,
what was the final in that game? Like 55-13 or something like that?
It was not
52-13.
Yeah, 52-13, yeah.
And even have, like, Utah State lost their coach, so people thought that North Texas was going to roll them.
Well, all they needed
was... We didn't know the backstory here.
I'd say all they needed was Rochelle Ryan to...
In the hot tub.
Come through in the clutch, help them out.
Yeah.
So...
That's the best thing of the weekend.
That was pretty great. That was pretty great. And, you know...
I mean...
If you're a football player...
Is that like the dream of all dreams
there? If you're a Utah State football player and you're just, you know, chilling in the hot tub and Rochelle Ryan comes in and you see her like, okay, all right, we're just kind of, you know, here...
I know it's curfew, coach, but I have good reasons here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hey, if it ended up making them perform as well as they did in the bowl game, then maybe you found the... Found the winning formula for Utah State. But, no, that was a fantastic story, though. It doesn't get any better than that. And I wish Tyler was on, because I'd like to ask him if he was at the Cotton Bowl and in the hot tub there at the Dallas Hotel. And you know, what would his reaction be?
What would you say to that,
like
Tyler?
That
what would you say to that, Tyler? All right, thanks.
That's probably the answer we'd get.
Yeah.
He'd probably just see you. He'd probably shut it out.
Again, what was that?
Yeah, let us know.
All right, got you.
We need to find some videos of him talking to reporters after game
and splice it up to make it say what we want to say. Yes, I think we would. I think we definitely should do that. That would be a perfect question.
I'm trying to think, like, go back, like after a big win, like when he got to be interviewed after a game. But I know, like, interviews coming to mind or anything. I bet that'd be funny.
I mean, the only interview that comes to my mind is when he was pissed off after they lost to Alabama in 2012, and he came out firing.
It sucks.
Yeah, that was the only interview I remember. But now we may have to splice something like that together. So there you have it, folks. The best and the worst of the weekend.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.